The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hey.
Hey, Heather, what's going on? Is that a new phone case?
Oh, jeez.
Now you've done it.
Yes, I had to. I finally had to trade in my phone, and then I got laughed at the Verizon store for my old phone.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Why is that?
He was just teasing me.
It was like old. It was like old.
It was one
something.
Of the little minis. And
okay.
He's like, right. Do you want to keep the case as a memento for your tiny little phone?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, this is a new phone and a new phone case.
Yeah, I noticed it's a bright orange phone. I like it already.
I know. It's again, out of character for me, but.
That's all right. Professor Stephen Manning is here from the Department of...
Big is in.
Corduroy, it's the New Orleans Saints logo on your head.
It is, yes. Yeah. I got it in New Orleans, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
Not that because I didn't care sense. About the Saints, but...
Okay. Just because it's one of the coolest cities in the world.
I like New Orleans, but not necessarily the Saints.
Sure, understood. Professor Dave Chow is here from the Department of Medicine Hat.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just shoveling 24/7.
Yeah, that is for dang sure. Absolutely.
Oh. You need to take the approach to this of throw money at the problem until it goes away.
Well,
I highly recommend it.
Kids won't take my money. That's all.
No, oh. It's true. It's true. They won't.
I tried to bribe them with food last week, and they didn't even take the hint.
They don't do the work either.
I was going to say.
They don't take the money or do
Thank
the work.
Thank you. We're out of here.
It's funny, too, because I, my extremely literal 13-year-old, I said something to him weeks ago. It would have been after Thanksgiving when we got that first big snow. And his interpretation was just the strip of sidewalk in front of your side yard. I'm like, if that's all it was, I'll go do it right now.
No.
One direction, other direction, done.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you need the whole shebang.
I've been meaning to ask you, I don't know if you've seen the neighbor to the east of me.
Okay.
His sidewalk is immaculate.
Oh, constantly. Really?
I'm wondering, is he laying down some...
Must be working on it.
Something, whether he's got it heated or...
Interesting.
We have a snowblower if you need one.
No. We're talking like right now. It is clear as a bell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's wild. Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello.
You had a good break, sir?
Had a great break, yeah.
Good.
And I'm getting ready to have another one. The 1st of February.
Where are you going?
Well, going to Hawaii for 10 days.
Oh, my
and
word.
Then I'm going to be in Scottsdale for 2 weeks. So I'll see Diane and Lori McDonald and, Henny Marsky and a number of people
from
here.
Oh, that's nice.
I hate you and everything you stand
for. No, we just hate you for your residence.
What islands?
Kauai and then the Big Island.
Okay.
Very, very nice. It's a perfect segue to someone who very recently spent some time in Hawaii,
she
Professor Danielle Maxwell.
I did.
I went for a conference, so work paid for it. It was great.
And I can't believe you caught the flight back.
I know. I thought
what
about
were you
staying
thinking?
There.
It was just a mistake.
Yeah.
Professor Dan Maggio is here, and we know that the fervor over curling is reaching an almost fever pitch.
Oh, yes, with the Olympics coming up.
Yep.
Yes.
So everyone is. We'll be hosting extra kind of learn to curl sessions. You can come to the club, and I think they're short, 45-minute, get on the ice. You know, hopefully you don't fall and kill yourself. And
much.
You know, we'll be re-upping our insurance for that.
Mia thinks you should teach her how to curl. She thinks she would be very good at it.
She'd be a good stone.
She told me that so many people are signing up for the days that she goes.
No, you should come. You should
have
hundreds of people
have a lottery.
In.
Oh, yes.
Are you guys like running like the 7-Eleven of curling now? Was it just open 24/7?
What is?
That many people showing
your sheet.
Up?
It's fun.
It is. We do shut down at night.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you
do
say.
Have to shave the ice every night.
I think we had a recent crossword clue. What do curlers and witches have in common?
Brooms.
Yeah.
That was in the mini.
It was in the mini. That's right. That's the only one we do. We're not smart enough to do the maxi. So
speak for yourself.
Yeah. Well, it takes too long. The mini is nice.
Yes.
Right. 2 minute, 1 minute sometimes.
Yep.
5 minutes others.
Oh, yeah.
Professor Mara Livesey is here. Just spent a holiday in your new home with your small child. That's always a very magical time.
It was absolutely lovely.
Excellent. What was, I'm not even allowed to ask, what was like Millie's like, what was the big ticket? I mean, did she get
real
like
estate,
a sports
real
car
estate.
Or like a pony?
Right. Yeah, she liked her paint.
Oh.
She really likes the paint and the stickers.
That's cool.
Painted stickers.
A future artist.
Well, because your there's students so many are big into the
stickers. I know, too much.
Yes, she put so many stickers on her arm that she had her first sleeve.
Oh, my future tattoo artist,
future
too.
Future tattoos.
She's
I see
so
common.
Hardcore. Wow. Yep. So hardcore.
I'll be mentoring
awesome.
In no time.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Last but most certainly none least, Professor Beth Oljar is here.
Good to be here.
Excellent. We're glad to have you.
Me
and
too.
You had a very nice, peaceful break as well.
I did, and I got my usual incredibly fat stack of books. So I'm including what I'm particularly intrigued by is it's a coffee table book called Renegades, Bruce Springsteen and a Barack Obama. You remember they did that mm-hmm. podcast together?
That's right.
So it kind of collects that and then, you know, other conversations the two of them have had and lots of cool photographs.
Cool.
And
nice.
Discussing music. So, yeah, really cool.
I can dig it. Folks, this is a program where you could send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize, or maybe a brand new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug, and an autographed photograph. If you don't stump the panel, we'll still send you the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So Matt Mansour of Waterford, Michigan, sent us just three questions, kind of a little bit all over the map, as I like to say. What was Henry Ford's, traditionally speaking, inspiration for his mass production system that led to the automotive assembly line?
Cash.
Okay, partial credit.
It's a darn good incentive.
But this, there's no way, if my wife were here, the historian, there's no way to like really know this for sure, but there are a lot of people that said, you know, he brought up blah. Every time he talked about his inspiration,
he liked
for
watching
the assembly
ant.
Line.
It was ants.
Ants is it's still outside the sphere, oh. But you're closer than you probably
what,
think.
Is Bees. It from the animal kingdom or the
it's,
human kingdom?
It's animal based, is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Wait, is this like a bucket brigade thing?
No.
Bees would be a good Bees? Example.
Not no.
Spiders? Like apes in a line working on each other?
So there's two kinds of animals.
Lemmings.
Lemmings.
There's two kinds of animals. There's live ones, and then there's unalived ones.
Unalived.
So if you use the unalived side, you might get to this pretty fast.
Decomposing animals?
Unalived animals.
They would be dead.
They're dead, yeah.
The famous zombie-making animals, car-making animals.
What? How could we have forgotten
vampires?
About them?
So according to tradition, he was obsessed with a Chicago area meatpacking plant and how the disassembly, as he called it,
yes.
of the carcass
yeah.
took
all
place in a certain
rendered.
Order.
Oh, I see. Mm.
Yes, so they're unalived. I don't know, but not zombie.
I just thought he read Adam Smith, you know, and there has to be mass consumption to have mass production. So
sure. The famous literary work by Dante, The Inferno, The Divine Comedy, what did Dante call the lowest level of the inferno?
A scum.
It's the ninth circle, if you want to remember.
Jeez.
I'll actually accept the Greek name.
The current Oval Office?
Yeah, called the administration.
Partial
or
credit.
Like what he said it looked
it's,
like.
It's like what sins they, what the
no,
sin
No, that's
going
to be the next question, is what the sins, the people who end up there.
Plebes, serfs.
It's not just the ninth circle of hell?
It's the ninth circle, but
it has
a Greek name. I mean, I'm not sure there's any way I can give it
Greek
a
Greek for what?
He called it Kositis. I'm sure it's Greek for something, but in particular, what was it? Like, every circle was like fire or like, you know, earthquakes or, you know, whatever, and they got all the
probably
way
probably a sewer.
It's full of liars. I don't know.
No, it was a frozen lake. So everybody was frozen in the lake. And in the very center of Kositis was, you only get one guess, if it was the ninth circle, the last circle.
A fishing shanty.
A nice fishing, yes.
Yes, a fishing shanty.
The devil himself.
It was Lucifer.
Yeah.
It was Lucifer himself.
Well, where was I going to go? Detroit?
Nice.
I don't know. Maybe Satan?
The ninth circle was reserved specifically for the ultimate traitors, people who said one thing but did something else. Lucifer is
we don't know anyone like that.
The great deceiver. So yeah.
That's right. He was an angel and then he turned bad.
That's right. Did you know that Dante died before he finished the Divine Comedy?
Mm-hmm.
How did the last sections of Paradiso, the final part, ultimately get finished?
Ghostwriter.
It's not that easy.
His wife?
Beatrice.
Not a wife. No. No. No spouse was involved.
How do they get...
One of his frightened kids.
Well, you know, you're closer than you think, Jim. The bottom line is it didn't ever get finished. He had more to write, and they didn't. But he was passing away. He was ill and basically gave everything to his buddy, who apparently sat on it for a while. It was like,
literally?
And then gave it to the kids after that. And so
I was waiting for like James Clavell or somebody like that. You know,
did not ever actually get finished. Okay. We've got another single question. These are just always fun. Our chair of English, Mary Catherine Harrison, is asking how many fricatives are there in the English language? How many fricatives are there?
Can you define a fricative?
It's a particular combination of letters.
It's a combination of letters. I can give you an example.
Right.
So a fricative is a consonant sound produced by forcing air. So the first example is the F
fricative.
In fun.
Okay.
Is a fricative. So how many different sounds are there that are fricatives in the English language total?
C.
So one of them is the S sound, as in the word sun. So you found another one. We've got two.
P.
P.
Puff. Nope. I think that that's not. It's because it's a sustained push of air. So it's not just one instance. It's
ma.
S. About shoe.
Yes. Sh is one of them, like in ship or shoe.
Or shingles.
Nice save, man.
That's pretty awesome. Oh my gosh.
Michael had the hand on the red button.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So for the record, profs, there's nine total. They are and the H in hat when you go.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Those are actually voiceless. There are voiced ones as well, like V as in V. This zoo, and everybody's favorite, the one where S appears in the middle of the word zh, as in we're going to zh up your hair. The ones that are higher pitched, for instance, like the zh, are known as sibilants, sibilants. So
I feel better now that I know
that. Phonics with Matt. So much fun.
Fricatives are fun.
That's interesting.
And they all have very special non-Roman character, you know, examples, like when you see a schwa and stuff like that. They're all totally wild. The zh in measure is my favorite. That's all I got to say. Okay.
Yo.
We got a set of questions. I actually wrote these questions. I couldn't help myself.
Ooh.
I got into something today, and then they just poured right out of my brain. These are questions that are all about my favorite, most prolific movie score writer and conductor, John Williams. John Williams is a very famous guy, and so we can see what we got here.
Interesting story about his doing the score on Schindler's List.
What is it?
When Spielberg showed him a cut of the film, he said, I can't write a score for this. I don't know anyone who could write a score for this. And he said something like, all the people who could score this are dead. And he's like, well, John, there's just you. So I guess I guess you're going to do it.
And he did a great job.
Yeah.
He did.
And then back in the day, he was also Johnny Williams, too, when he was doing the jazz scores.
Still Johnny. He's still Johnny. What event was celebrated by John Williams conducting an orchestra in 2023? Just to give you an idea, he's approximately 93 or 94 at that time.
July 4th.
I mean, you're close. It was an anniversary of a very specific band.
Band?
Band, yes.
Boston Pops?
Not the Boston Pops, although that's a good guess.
London Philharmonic?
The Beatles.
Not the London Philharmonic, not the Beatles. It was the 225th anniversary of this band.
Is it one of the armed forces?
I mean, you're really close, Dan. It's the Marine Band, the one that's called the President's Own, the one that plays Hail to the Chief. So 225 years.
Those guys drill like nothing. I mean, it's amazing.
Which orchestra performs John Williams' tributes most frequently? This made me laugh
a little orchestra?
Bit.
London Philharmonic?
It's not. That's a very logical guess. L.A. is a logical guess. Mm. The Boston Pops would be a very logical guess, but it is not.
The New York? Philharmonic? Philadelphia?
Is it something humorous?
There's no question that this state is the number one news story in the United States for the last few days.
Minnesota?
The Minnesota Orchestra plays John Williams' tributes
was he
most
born
frequently.
There?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I wonder why that is.
Harry Potter's Hedwig's theme. You got to think about these things, right? The Empire Strikes Back, Imperial March, and the main theme to Jurassic Park are thought to be separate from Williams' score for Minority Report. Why?
Separate.
You have to think about what these pieces sound like to be able to answer this
they're
question.
They're in a minor key?
Yeah, they're in
a lot
different
more woodwinds?
It's a good guess. It's keys. A good guess.
More brass.
They're actually different kinds of music, if that helps you. Because I can't think of
they're
what
marches?
The Minority Report main they're... theme was.
Me neither, and I own the movie. Dun, dun,
dun, is it the instruments that are being played, Matt?
I'm sorry.
It could be played on a kazoo.
The instruments that are being played?
I mean, we've heard it in a couple different ways. I would say that's
is
the closest.
Drums?
Harry Potter, Empire Strikes Back, Jurassic Park, they're all classified as classical music.
Oh.
And Minority Report is more modern, so it's not exactly
did
the
he,
same.
He didn't do the score for Harry Potter, did he?
Yeah,
he did.
Uh-huh. If he did
is there a movie? Headways. Maybe we should have a question. Name a movie that he hasn't done.
Yeah. Yeah, no
wait,
kidding.
Wait till you see a few more of these I got coming here. Uh-oh. Seriously.
Secret royalties from all this?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is widely regarded to be John Williams' first break with a big-name director in 1966? I had never
Irwin
heard
Allen?
This before. The director was Willie Wyler.
Who?
1966.
Billy Wyler?
I've never heard of this movie before.
I mean, I've heard of him. Mm-hmm.
66.
66.
The year of my birth.
I wasn't going to say it, but.
I know. I'll be 60 in April.
Small potatoes. Just a number.
The name of the movie was How to Steal a Million. I've never heard of it before.
Oh. Obviously, he's learned.
The very first movie score that charted, actually got on whatever you want to call it now, the Billboard Hot 100 for John Williams was 1978.
Star Wars?
Mm-mm.
No. Close Encounters?
78. Oh. Close Encounters of the Third Kind is what it
okay.
was.
Close right. Encounters,
okay. Alien
yeah.
movie.
I can't believe that Star Wars didn't. Because that was 77.
Oh, no, but actually when you think about it, was it do you remember that one that one band Miko
Star
took
Wars
it over, did the
old?
Disco
oh,
version
goodness.
Of Star Wars?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What is the first film by Steven Spielberg scored by John Williams? 1974. I've never seen it,
Drive?
But I know its name. It's not. That's
Fuel?
A good guess.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was.
1941?
No, it includes a classic baking ingredient, like the main baking ingredient, I would say.
Oh, Sugarland
Express?
Sugarland Express. There we go. You got it. All right. This should be fun.
Was that a roller skating one?
Oh, you're thinking of Starlight Express.
Yeah, Starlight Express.
Okay,
or Skate Town USA.
Right.
Or Xanadu.
Which John Williams track is inspired by an old Welsh poem and read in Sanskrit? This is a good piece of trivia. Mm-hmm.
Could you repeat the question? I'm so sorry.
Which John Williams track is inspired by an old Welsh poem and read in Sanskrit by the choir singing the song? So great.
Read in Sanskrit.
Is it a Christmas thing?
It is a Star Wars song.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, the cantina?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Star Wars.
Whatever Jabba the Hutt is playing when he's got...
So it's sung in Sanskrit.
It's sung in Sanskrit. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the cantina. That's about the only part. That...
But that's not sung either.
There's not many choral pieces from Star Wars. Let's be serious. It's from Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. It's called Duel of the Fates. I guarantee that you've
Jar Jar sang it.
Exactly. Which Alfred Hitchcock film, by the way, the last one that Hitchcock ever made, did Williams score?
Family Plot.
Family Plot. You knew it right off the top of your head.
I know it was the last film that Hitchcock made. I'm pretty sure I saw it in a drive-in.
I found a little...
And you watched the movie?
Through the steamed windows?
Yes.
Beth, you'll appreciate it.
There was a drive-in instance where I was not really watching.
Whoa!
Different movie.
Different movie.
There's a movie?
Oh. John Williams remembers his time working with, quote-unquote, the greatest director of all time because Hitchcock's direction to him was, remember, Johnny, murder can be fun. That's what Hitchcock told him. I just love that line.
That sounds like Hitchcock.
Yeah.
What famous classical piece did John Williams say inspired such a great piece of music, Holiday Flight from Home Alone? It sounds exactly like
Flight
it.
Flight of the Valkyries?
Put them right next to each other.
Sugar Plum Fairies.
I mean, it is. It's actually Nutcracker, but it's the Russian dance. Where the guy spins faster and faster because they're running to the gate, you know, for the flight. Oh, man, that's such a great
It's movie. Our theme song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. How many films has John Williams scored, and how many Oscar nominations does he have?
Oh, good grief.
I'd say
30 or 40 nominations at least.
No, I go more than that.
Okay, so I got lots of numbers, but we'll do how many films has he scored?
65.
120.
We'll go closer to 120. It's over 100 by some estimations. How many Oscar nominations does he have?
47.
65.
More than anybody else.
You said 47? I'm just going to give it to you. It's basically over 50, and only one person has more in history who is...
Walt Disney.
Walt Disney, yes, yeah. Exactly. Wow. So, spectacular.
You know, and Walt's no...
But how many has he won, do you know?
It doesn't say. That's a good question. That's actually a very good question.
I thought you wrote the questions.
Why?
Yeah, you can do the research on it.
The person who wrote the questions does not know.
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
Plus the Jaws.
No footnote?
With the Jaws theme.
Okay.
Because they had so many problems with the shark, right? Every Richard Dreyfuss is like, every 5 minutes it was the shark is not working. The music had to carry the terror.
100%.
Which of course it does,
absolutely.
Right? As soon as you hear it.
I love where you're going with this. The very next question is, what two notes are the Jaws theme?
Steven? Help it out? Great.
I don't know. Is it a half step? They're like a half step apart from each other?
It says full step here.
Full step.
But I'm looking for actually letters, if you can believe
C
it.
C and D.
It's E and F.
Oh, I mean, we're so close.
It's like, that's all you need to play on the piano. I love it.
Still the best opening sequence in a film ever.
No question. Yeah. No question about it.
Arguably. Yeah.
What iconic song, I'm looking in a Dan Maggio direction, did Williams compose that we're about to hear for about 16 days straight?
The Olympic theme.
The Olympic fanfare.
Oh, yeah, the Olympic fanfare.
Flourish, yeah.
And the NBC News song and the NBC's own Olympic tune that they use.
Oh, very nice.
He did a lot of stuff for NBC.
Are you prepared for ice skating and ice dancing?
I'm doing my best. I'm very excited about hockey and curling and skeleton.
And the department tree. You're very excited about
tree. Well, why don't you let everybody know about the department tree?
Yes, my goal is to have a new theme every month for the entire year. So we'll always have a Christmas tree up. But we have a blue Christmas tree with flags from around the world. And then I took medals and I cut off the lanyards and I made the medals into ornaments. So we have 1, 2, and 3, like first, second, third place ornaments.
Oh, that's how many of them are Nobel Peace Prizes?
All of them. All of them.
And will you give it to Donald Trump?
Yikes.
Your Nobel Peace Prize.
Never ever.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever.
Will you update it as the United States wins more and more medals?
Yes.
Ooh, that's
I think that FIFA gold medal, I'm waiting. I'm wondering how long it's going to take him to peel off the gold and eat the chocolate underneath.
They are as corrupt an organization as you could imagine, according to my football-obsessed spouse.
That's true. This was the only thing that I didn't at least have an alignment of knowing when I put these questions together, and I think it's spectacular. Mm. Which famous 1980s rock and roll band lead singer is John Williams' son? This is great.
Is the last name Williams?
Yes.
Haley Williams?
As a matter of fact,
Paramore?
I can tell you it's Joe Williams, but that's not going to help you.
Oh,
Joe Williams.
What band was Joe Williams? It's
he's 80s. It's some like Rage Against the Machine type-ish
You're
band.
You're going to have to go
to Toto? Or?
It's Toto. Yes.
Oh,
John Williams' son,
I should have known that from my Yacht Rock documentary because they're, I mean, Toto is huge.
Yeah, Toto's like
in Yacht Rock.
There's a Yacht Rock documentary.
Clearly John Williams did not write the music for that band.
No, and actually, I uncovered a piece of trivia that I did not turn into a question that if I let my wife know, she will lose it. She will flip out.
Right.
He and his son collaborated on one piece of music their whole career. He's still alive, by the way. I mean, he's in his mid, late 90s or whatever, John Williams. He and Joseph Williams collaborated on one piece of music that ended up in a Star Wars movie. It was the only major piece of music cut out by Lucas's reissues of the movies. It was the old song that the Ewoks sang at the end when they won, and it was very tribal, and and they cut it all out and replaced it with something else. It's very
sad. Is he the guy singing lead on Hold the Line?
I think so. Well, I was thinking more Africa, but yeah.
Oh, he's not the lead singer on that.
Oh, I don't know. Sure. I don't know. I'm just got what I got.
Here, Toto so, is. Yeah. Was, I mean, they've done everything. You know, wasn't he like Quincy Jones's backup band pretty much for basically, a lot of the recording?
They're basically. All of them. All of the members of Toto amazing, were routinely yeah. working as studio musicians, yeah, right. And so that hence the connection to Steely Dan.
Right.
But, famous for hiring.
But none of them ever figured out what a leprous so. Actually is.
Which Steven Spielberg film, as it stands in 2026, the only Spielberg film that John Williams has not scored? What is it? And it makes a lot of sense when you hear about it.
Not E.T. No.
Lincoln.
Nope.
1941.
Nope.
The Color Purple.
The Color Purple.
Ah, that's right, Quincy Jones.
Which was Quincy Jones, who actually
I've
did the score
for. I've never
seen
that movie.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, you I showed Marcy The Color
It's Purple. A great. Oh, and Oprah is one of the best things in it.
Yeah, she's got talent, though. For sure, I think, as what? An actress. Oh, Oprah.
Oh, yeah. She's incredible.
Yep.
One more question. I'm glad that we had at least a little bit of fun, because what I really want to do is like press a button and like play music for you all to listen, and then Michael's going to start sweating because we can only do it for 5.2 seconds without having to pay
royalties
and
stuff. Amazingly wonderful questions.
you could you. Sing them for us.
Hum them.
I'm going to sing the Star Wars theme for you.
Bring a kazoo. Yeah.
Last question. How does the legendary John Williams compose all his music?
Very well.
On yellow lines.
At the breakfast table.
In his head.
In his pajamas.
Probably all true at some level. He has scored every single thing with a piece of paper and
by
a pencil.
Hand. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Analog.
Well,
I like
that. You do have to write incredible. Notes.
Incredible. Well, yeah, but he's never like gotten an iPad or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like.
Never too late.
Does it old school.
He does it old
I'm
school.
Sure Harry Mancini did the same. Or Henry Mancini.
Henry Mancini did
the same thing.
Well, he had to.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Why?
Because he was before the era which he had any electronic options.
Oh, my god!
But
gosh.
Can you imagine the Pink Panther theme being written any way other than with...
Maybe we should just get Jim to do all the music.
I have a hard time writing that way, though. You know, the thing is up there and writing.
Yeah,
and the thing slides
you know, when you're,
down,
like, you're playing something
know.
And whatever.
You've got to put it in your lap.
I won't even get into like how some of the most famous pieces of music / movie music of all time like literally took him 15 minutes to put together. He just has things going on up there that regular folks don't.
That's he has a great imagination, actually.
Absolutely.
You were making fun of my Yacht Rock documentary.
No. His brother really likes Yacht Rock, so I should find out the title of this documentary.
Documentary. There you go.
It's indicative of my, you know, this the road, the two different roads traveled between my brother and I.
Hopefully someone will send us some Doobie Brothers questions soon enough, but until then...
That'd be great.
The time has come for us to say goodbye. Beth.
Goodbye.
Mara.
See ya.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Danielle.
Adios.
Oh, that's a challenge. Jim.
Farewell.
Dave.
See ya.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Thank you, and thank you for the questions.
Thank you. And now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.